And as we were singing that song, it's those words. It's great when God speaks to multiple people and confirms what he's saying. It's good. It's almost like he is in control. He has got a plan. It's encouraging, isn't it? It's really encouraging, because all I felt was rescue, rescue, rescue. I felt like God say to me, you've got a story of being rescued. And can anyone else testify to having a story of being rescued? I know out there are many, many, many of us who have got testimonies of a story where we have been rescued. Rescued. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And as we move into this part of the service, it's the last week of the series that we've been looking at community and how, as a body, as a church, we can influence community. You know, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. And we have Christ inside us. And we should expect that should influence people. And we've heard great testimonies within the neighborhood, within the workplace. Lots and lots of brilliant testimonies of people stepping out and seeing God move and making a difference. And this week, as we celebrate Adoption Sunday, we want to look at how can God use us in our homes? How can God use us to spread that testimony of being rescued within our homes? And Home for Good, as many of you will know, are a fantastic Christian organization who seek to see the eradication of the amount of children that are within the care system. 35,000 young children go into the care system every year. That's one every 22 minutes. And that is not acceptable. And as a church, Home for Good believe that the church is in the ideal place with a story of rescue, being rescued, with a story of adoption of our own, that we can step into that gap and we can see 35,000 children homed, cared for, loved. So as we share this morning, we're going to hear testimonies of how we can use our home. And my prayer this morning is that we will be inspired and that we will be challenged to see where we can play our part in this story. Where can we play our part in this solution? Because Home for Good tell us that if just one family in every church across the UK adopted or fostered, we could eradicate the list. Wouldn't that just be an amazing thing? Well, we're really blessed in this church because we have at least 3 families doing that. But wouldn't it be amazing if we could eradicate the list of Solihull, just Solihull local authority? So we're first going to hear from Becky, who's going to speak on mine and her behalf about St. Basil's. So how it's going to work is we're going to hear from 3 different couples and they're going to share for 5 minutes, and then we're going to have 5 minutes opportunity to pray as a church into these issues and areas. So I'll start with Becky.
Hi everyone. Can I have the first slide up, please? Thank you. So my name is Becky, and this Rich, and we live in Yardley, and we are on the supported lodgings scheme, which is called Home to Home through St. Basil's. And the scheme is for vulnerable young people, 16 plus, can also be adults, sort of early adulthood as well. And if they've had any problems in their families, like family breakdown, or they're at risk of abuse or neglect, or it might be they're overcrowded, and it could be a bereavement, lots of different circumstances these young people might face. They can be left homeless, or they could be leaving foster care but needing a bit more independence. So this scheme is home to home. So rather than going to a hostel, which isn't like a family environment, it's a different sort of environment, this provides a family environment for those young, vulnerable young people. And we've been part of this scheme for a year now, and we've had three people that have lived with us. This is our spare bedroom. And this verse, Hebrews 13:16, says, "Do not neglect to do what? To do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." And the reason why we signed up to this scheme was because we were really blessed by our home. We have a testimony to tell you another day if you haven't heard it. And this spare room is not being used. Well, I was using it as a study, but we did have another room as well, which we're using as a walk-in wardrobe. But then we had to downsize our study into what is no longer a wardrobe, sort our furniture out, and then so we could make a room, a homely room for a young person. And we just feel that there is so much we can do as Christians by opening our home, being there for a young person. I've got a poem, and I read this the other day through Tearfund's website, and it really challenged me. And even whilst doing this scheme, I have to remind myself why I'm doing it, especially when it gets challenging. So this is the poem. "If I have anything to do with it, my very life will be a shelter for every weary wanderer. It will feel like a well-worn sweater, smell like fresh baked bread, and it will sound like the only thing we become wayfarers only to hear. Here you are wanted. Welcome home." And actually, there's a challenge to all of us, whether we open our home or not, but we're always hospitable, that we always show love to people, and that our lives can be a home for people. And that it doesn't matter if you're not able to do this scheme, but you can still play your part. And we have had some really challenging times, but also some really rewarding times. We've had fun times, getting to know someone. We've had opportunities to share the gospel in words as well as our deeds. And some of the people who just have asked us, you know, what our faith is about, and even wanted to come to church with us. So it's been really exciting and very unpredictable. So it keeps you on your toes, and I found it very character building, and just the opening up of your home makes you have to open your heart as well. And I feel like all the time we're doing Jesus's work, and it really does make you build the character of Jesus through it. And you have to rely on him as well. I couldn't do it without Jesus, and often had to pray just for strength to cope with coming home to a person or to a situation. And we've even met people from different cultures. We had a boy recently that came all the way from Afghanistan, a lot on foot, and on lorries as well. And it took him 7 months to get to Birmingham. He was hoping for London, but he got Birmingham. And he was a really sweet boy, comes from sort of a remote place out of the city in Afghanistan. And he's hoping for a better life here. And it's really, he's come from really traumatic experiences over there under the Taliban rule. And we also learned some Farsi through this experience. So I've got another slide. So young people have been really thankful for our support. And in small ways, we have seen them make good steps towards a better future for themselves, to believe in themselves. We don't see full transformation or massive changes from anyone, but we know that they're feeling safe, they're in a stable environment, they know that we care about them, and we don't want to hurt them in any way, that they're really safe and loved by us. And actually, it's just the small things that we have to notice and remember that's really important, the small things that they do, because they learn how to live independently, so they learn sort of independent living skills with us, and also how to just look after their own health and all those things that they need to be able to live independently after they leave us. And so we have the picture on the right is from the boy that recently stayed with us from Afghanistan. He's a really good drawer, and he's got his flag on his cheek. It's really important to him, the country he came from. That's his identity. And he was a Muslim boy as well. And finally, the scheme is really, really popular with Birmingham City Council. They really advocate the scheme, and they approached St Basil's to help deal with the refugee crisis and the amount of unaccompanied asylum-seeking children coming to Birmingham. And so they have taken on a lot of people onto this scheme that are unaccompanied asylum seekers. We're actually at full capacity, which means they're looking for more hosts of either night stop or supported lodgings, which is longer term. But it can only be, like, it might be only be a week, or it could be up to 2 years. If you're interested, I have some flyers, and you have a spare room in your house and you're interested in potentially doing something like what we're doing, we can talk to you more about it, how it works, and there's some good information in here as well. But it's really rewarding, and it is as well different to foster care, and that the young person is more independent in your household. It's not the same as foster care. And that, so me and Rich still do a lot of different, we do a lot of our things that we normally do by ourselves. It doesn't affect how much we work. So they also sign a tenancy agreement. So it's that they're being empowered as tenants of your house. But also they are a bit more independent than foster children. So quickly, the next steps for me and Rich are that we feel we're called to be foster carers, short term initially, and then potentially long term foster carers of up to maybe 3 children. That's where we're at. And let's pray. Sorry, I probably took too long. Sorry.
Thank you, Becky. So we've got an opportunity now to pray, just for maybe 3 to 5 minutes. So these are the 3 prayer points, and each of the speakers are going to have an opportunity to ask you to pray. So for us, can you pray for the vulnerable young people in Birmingham and Surly Hall who need St Basil's services? Pray for St Basil's staff and the home-to-home hosts, and for more people to become hosts. And pray for Rich and Becky as they continue St Basil's and they apply to be foster carers. So we'll just gather within the people that you're in and just spend a couple of minutes just praying. That'd be really great. It's great when the church comes together and prays. Just a couple of minutes, and then we'll hear from Mary and Alan. Would you like to come forward and share?
Thanks. Good morning, church. Are you okay? Still awake? Good. Mary and Alan. I'm Alan, this is Mary. We are foster carers, and foster carers, not foster parents, because we don't stand as mom and dad, we stand as carers, and we don't have daughters and sons, we have children that we care for. That's quite an important thing to bear in mind.
So we are Mary Allen of this parish. So we have 6 birth children, tummy children, or tummy mummies, to 6 children, and we have 3 grandchildren. And children have always been important in my life, and Alan's life also. I've been involved with children from very early on in my life, but I then trained as a primary teacher. I then became a wife and a mother, and I became the children's worker here, and became children's and family leader, or pastor, for over 14 years. And part of that work with SCF was being involved in Shirley Heath's prior junior school. We were involved in many creative ways. Deborah and Roger were in there with me, and Chris Shaw. For many years, we did lots of fun things with the children. But weekly, I would also deliver anger management lessons, and later SEAL workshops, which is social and emotional aspects of learning. And I learnt a lot that has helped me from delivering those workshops. But I often felt that if I could just take one of the children home, maybe I could make a difference for them. But I was stirred to consider fostering when Care for the Family and the Evangelical Alliance gathered youth and children and church leaders to consider what our attitude as the church was to adoption and fostering. And I went there with Anna and Anne Forder.
And I was moved to consider fostering separately to Mary, which is often happens. And that, for me, it was when I read yet again about a group of men that had exploited sexually young girls. Now, you know, you could point the finger and the papers do very good at that, but it just seems to be an occurrence that continues and it breaks my heart. And I thought, if we could just help one 14-year-old little girl to have some hope in her own identity that wasn't given by some man who offered drugs and drink and then took them into a place, that you could just give them a hope in themselves. So we discussed it together, and after praying about it, we felt that we could try, we'd give it a go. Perhaps we couldn't fix people, but probably we could try and make a difference by giving some young vulnerable girl or boy a different life.
So after looking on websites, we became in contact with Solihull Social Services. There are different ways of entering fostering, but we went through the local authority. For us, that was a moral choice that would be cost effective for our nation. And with 12 months of training, we were approved as short-term foster carers, and we were able to foster one child or two siblings or a mother and baby. On our way out of the room from being passed, which was quite an emotional time, our social worker took us into a room and asked us, would we immediately take a mother and baby? So Deep End Ministry.
Since then, 18 months, we've had our seventh placement. And that's Kaylee, who doesn't want us to mention her because she's very shy. But she's a lovely girl, and we're really blessed to have her in our house. But such is the desperate need for families in Solihull to give a vulnerable young child a stable home. But it's not that easy, and many of you have been on this journey with us, and you know what we've had to put up with, and we shared with you particularly our last placement, which was quite a challenge. And we are learning as we're going along. We thought we were great parents, having been parents of six children, but we realise that we've got quite a lot to learn. But there's so much support out there. Solihull Council give us lots of support. We're going on lots of courses and learning more and more. You know, these children are damaged through no fault of theirs. And we must remember that. They need very special care. It's easy to get annoyed. It's easy to treat them like you would your own children, but we cannot. We've got to treat them very, very carefully. The last thing they need in their lives is more abuse. They need love.
And they need, like we've needed, a home from God through Jesus Christ. So we've trod carefully with regard to our faith, because it's quite a sensitive area in social services. But so far, we've had a good degree of encouragement from the social workers we've met and with schools. And we've had very few problems with bringing our children here to the bridge. They've wanted to come. And thank you, church. You have been very welcoming and accepting of them. They need a home.
So thank you for your interest, your care and support. We expect more challenges on the way, but we know we are making a difference. And we are called to this particular ministry at this time. We also know that Jesus is the answer and will make the difference in these young lives.
So Alan and I, we've become champions for Home for Good, and SCF has become a Home for Good church. It's a charity that was birthed from that initial gathering that I went to with Anna and Anne. And we want to promote adoption and fostering as we feel that, you know, Jesus has made his home in us. And that we will be a home to those who are in need.
So just wanted to read Psalm 68, verses 5 and 6. A father to the fatherless A defender of widows is God in his holy habitation. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in dry land. So thank you for listening. Come and talk with us if you'd like to know more about fostering. It isn't an easy task, but it's certainly very rewarding. Thank you very much.
Okay, let's just spend a few minutes praying for Mary and Alan. And the prayer points there are patience to continue the task with knowledge and understanding in how we handle the everyday as well as difficult situations, favour as we connect with social services and other organisations, and to protect all of the family's hearts when the outcomes are not so easy. Let's just spend some time praying for Mary and Alan on that. Anna and Chris? Anna? Okay, fantastic.
I will be very brief. So my name is Anna, and that's my lovely husband on the sound desk, Chris. We have four children, two tummy children and two non-tummy children. And my journey into adoption started 20-odd years ago in China, when we were there just as a young married couple. And I went visiting in the orphanages, and I would pray for the children to die. And I would pray for God to take them home. And that obviously touches your heart very deeply. And you know, we're praying, break my heart, God, for what breaks yours. And my heart would break every time I would go, and I would have to stand in our little flat and get changed. I couldn't come into the flat in my clothes. It was so disgusting. And just put them straight in the washing machine by themselves, and I had my orphanage clothes, and I would just wash them, dry them, and put them back on the next week. And God takes you on a journey, and it has to be a heart thing, because it's not financially wise, it's not family wise, it's not anything wise, really, on lots of levels. And it's not wise because we're not very young anymore. We used to be, but we're not. But we have two families in our church that are adopters, and we both have two adopted children each, and both families are committed to our children as if they were biological. It makes no difference to us that they are not biological children. And in fact, our lovely Rebecca looks just like Joseph, in temperament as well as physically. So my journey started 20 years ago. Chris was a little bit later. We had our biological children, and then we went back to China and lived in a city where adoption and fostering was the norm in our expat community. So many people were involved in fostering Chinese children, and we got involved in that, and we had a lovely little girl called Chloe live with us for just under 2 years, and she's now an American citizen, and that was very special, and that just took us further on the journey. But I knew I couldn't foster in this country. I would find that too difficult. My heart would not cope with that level. So we came home, and I went into, what do we do? It's not like getting a dog. You can't send it back. It comes with emotional, physical, and whatever problems. And the reality, our social worker said to Dan and Joe, whoever comes into your family, you have to share your inheritance with them. So your mum and dad have a house, you're now splitting it two ways. If you get two siblings, you're now splitting it four ways. Are you willing to do that? They did say yes. I'm not sure how they feel now. But I just want to say the reality is harder than the dream or the headlines, but the potential change in our beautiful children's lives. Did you not think Madison was beautiful? Was she not? You know, but the reality is we have to be committed to that in the inside and the out. And we are, you know, that is a daily struggle for us. You know, but these children are more vulnerable than the headlines. They are more damaged than the headlines. And the potential change we can make in their lives is better than the headlines. But the cost is more. And, you know, but we want to say this is God's heart in action. And it's going to, you know, these girls are with us now, that's it. That's it, they're here forever. And praise God for that on one hand, and my goodness, you know, we are trusting God on the other. Chris is 52 and I am nearly 50. When Rebecca's, yes! When Rebecca's 16, Chris will be 62 and I will be 60. You know, so living with a 16-year-old when you're 60 may well have its challenges or and its blessings, obviously, because it will keep us young. But, you know, we have quite a lot of practical needs, obviously. Rebecca's quite a handful and she has quite a lot of physical needs as well that we have to manage on a daily basis, bless her heart. But if we can't do that, who is going to do it? If we cannot live out sacrificial lives, who's going to do that in our nation? Who's going to do that? If we don't realise that this is not it, this is only a picture, a snapshot, if actually sharing our inheritance with who we have is actually, it's a big deal, but it's not the end. Because this is, you know, when we get to eternity, this is not going to be, it's going to be a snapshot, isn't it? If we can't do it and we believe this wholeheartedly, who's going to do it? You know, who's going to reach out to these vulnerable children? And we can sing that we are adopted and we can sing all of that, but unless we're willing to wash out the dirty stuff in their lives practically and spiritually and emotionally, you know, who's going to do that? So here's our prayer points. We do need continual prayer because it's a long-term project, you know, and we cannot send them back. If it all breaks down, it would be like putting our children into care. It'd be like putting Dan and Joe into care. And I wouldn't be willing to do that, so I cannot be willing to do that for Rebecca and Madison. I think it would be really good as a church if we could, you know, research the practical challenges that vulnerable children face, because we have beautiful children, but they, you know, they are damaged, and we can put them in lovely dresses and we can love them up and we can make them as middle class as we want to, but, you know, inside, that's where the healing has to come, and, you know, and the damage. You know, we would like to play with children and we would like to, you know, be involved in children's lives. With our children. We do have a lovely circle of little babysitters, which is great. And if you'd like to join that circle, that would be lovely. But it's, you know, they need to trust you and we need to, you know, it's a bit more complex than just coming to babysit. So we do need unity as a family. And that's our big challenge on the daily basis. We need love and fun to cover the tough things, of which there are a number. And wisdom and protection in dealing with Rebecca and Madison's birth family, in talking to them about it and also having contact with them. They're a sibling set of five, so they have other siblings that we have contact with, and it's healthy for them to do that, but that's obviously very challenging for them and for us. Thank you.
Can continue. And we really do ask that you continue to pray for those that we've heard from today. There's a number of ways that we can get involved with Home for Good. I'm not suggesting that this is everyone's call, but there's a number of ways that we can get involved. Yes, we can adopt. Yes, we can foster. We can all pray and we can all give and we can all be an advocate for Home for Good. You know, as outreach pastor, it's been encouraging over the last month to hear so many testimonies of what's happening out in the community. But the Bible tells me that God can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. So even as sitting here as outreach pastor and hearing all his testimonies, I'm not satisfied because I want to see more. I believe in a God that says immeasurably more. And God put on my heart this year that our focus as church should be to make the most of where we are in our communities, our families, our workplaces, our schools, our colleges, our universities, within our friends and within our families. And we've heard some fantastic testimonies over the last month. But church, I believe that the Spirit of God is living within each of us. And Jesus says we are the light of the world. And that should produce change. And I'm tired of opening the newspaper and reading stories about Christians, about what they're against, or scandals, or not good stuff. I want to read stories about where Christians have influenced societal change. And that's what I'm believing for this church. Because I understand about standing up for causes. But we have to step out as well. And we have to believe that as Christians, we can have an impact to influence societal change. That things can be different. And that we can see news stories as home for good vision. That the church eradicates the issue of the shortfall of foster carers and adopted parents. And in lots of other areas within our neighbourhoods, I believe that we can see change. Within our friendship groups, we can see change. Within our families, workplaces, schools, colleges, universities, we can see change. Because the living God is inside of us. But we have to believe it, and we have to be intentional. And we have to trust God and be willing to step out into these areas that we feel he's calling us. We have gone through so many things over the last few months, and in terms of what we've heard testimony. And even in a morning like this morning, we hear about fostering, adoption, St. Basil's. We hear about open doors, and it can be easy for our minds just to think, where do I even start? But we have to seek God. We prayed that in a song this morning as we worshipped, that we would find out what broke God's heart. Let's pray that prayer individually. Find out what God is calling to you to, because he's calling you somewhere. And let's step out with all that we have. Isaiah 58 on true fasting talks about spending ourselves. We can spend so much of our currency and our money in this earth, and it gets left behind here. But the way we spend our lives will be currency in heaven. We will see that difference. Those are things that we can take with us. And I want us to think about how we can spend ourselves. At the end of this series on community, let's ask God to speak to us, challenge us, inspire us of the stories. Let's continue to pray for others as we seek to bring the gospel, the good news, that we've been rescued, that we've been adopted to others. So church, it is almost 10 past. I want to give an opportunity for more prayer. I want to give an opportunity for people who feel called into any of these areas. Chris, Anna, Alan, Mary, me and Becky are going to be at the front to pray for anyone. I'm believing that people are going to be called into these areas this morning. We would love to pray for you. But also in areas where you feel also challenged from the last month or so, we want to pray for you where you can step out in your place. So we really ask, stay around, have some prayer as we move forward. Anna's just reminded me at the back that we've got some signatures for the sex education stuff which is coming out. Please see, as Katie shared last week, and it's in your news sheet, go and have a chat with her as well. But let's just spend some time. I don't know, can we have a worship? Can we play one more song? And if you need to go, you need to go. But let's press in. Let's have an opportunity for prayer. Let's worship God. Amen.